Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to Ayala Land's briefing on its results for the first quarter of 2018. Joining us on the line are 16 callers, and we'd like to remind everyone that our materials are available for download at ir.ayalaland.com.ph. And of course, I'd like to recognize our panel led by our President and CEO, Mr. Bobby D, our Chief Finance Officer, Mr. Toti Bengzon, Augusto Bengzon, and our Head of Leasing, Mr. Junie Halandoni. And to start the ball rolling, let me turn over the floor to Mr. Bengzon.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ayala Land's first quarter analyst briefing. Allow me to start with three key messages. First, I am pleased to report that the company posted a strong start with a 17% top line and bottom line growth. Total revenues increased 17% to 37 billion. Due to the substantial growth of property development and the sustained performance of commercial leasing. Consequently, net income also grew by 17% to 6.5 billion, driven by the healthy revenues. Of note, we'd like to highlight that sales reservations increased by 16% to 31.5 billion, and this was driven by strong local demand. Our CapEx reached 26.7 billion to support project completion, increased investments in other businesses, and our leasing asset buildup. Our CapEx spend for the first quarter is on track with our target to spend 111 billion in 2018. And third, we are capitalizing on international growth opportunities as we have increased our exposure in investment in MCT in Malaysia. Let me start with our first quarter financial results. Total revenues were up to 36.9 billion, 17% higher than 31.6 billion in the previous quarter. Real estate revenues increased by 18% to 36.2 billion due to the substantial growth of property development and the sustained performance of commercial leasing. Interest and other income declined by 86 million. And the breakdown would be as follows. Equity and net earnings grew by 21% to 167 million from the higher net income contribution of our non-consolidated subsidiaries. Interest and investment income declined by 34%, mainly due to lower interest income from regular installment sales. And other income grew slightly to 367 million. Our total expenses grew slower than revenues at 15% to 26.6 billion. This was driven by real estate and hotel expenses, which grew by 15% to 22 billion from 19.2 billion in the previous period. General administrative expenses only grew by 9% to 1.97 billion. This resulted in a further improvement in our GAE to revenue ratio to 5.3% from 5.7% previously. And interest expense, financing, and other charges grew 23% to 2.6 billion as a result of higher interest expenses. This resulted in an income before tax of 10.3 billion, 21% higher than the previous year. Taking out non-controlling interests, net income attributable to ALI equity holders registered at 6.5 billion, 17% higher year on year. In terms of our revenue breakdown, total revenues from property development amounted to 26 billion, 27% higher than 20.5 billion in the same period last year. Revenues from the sale of residential lots and units reached 22.5 billion. 31% higher, driven by new bookings and project completion across all residential brands. Revenues from the sale of office spaces reached $1.5 billion, 7% lower as a result of limited inventory, while revenues from the sale of commercial and industrial lots reached $2 billion, 22% higher due to the higher lot prices that we were able to charge in Arca South and more industrial lot sales in Alviera in Porac, Pampanga. Meanwhile, revenues from commercial leasing amounted to $8.1 billion, 11% higher than the same period last year. Revenues from shopping centers reached $4.2 billion, 10% higher due to the higher contribution of newly opened Ayala Malls Vertis North, Cloverleaf, and the 30th, and the improved performance of Tutuban Center and UP Town Center. Revenues from office leasing reached $2 billion, 13% higher due to the contribution of newly opened office spaces such as Vertis North Corporate Center 1, the 30th Corporate Center, Circuit BPO Towers 1 and 2, and improved occupancy in the Ayala Center Cebu Tower. Revenues from hotels and resorts reached $1.9 billion, 12% higher due to the contribution from newly opened properties such as Seda Vertis North, Seda Capital Central, and Arlio Bed and Breakfasts. In terms of services, total revenues amounted to $18.6 billion, 16% higher. Revenues from construction from Makati Development Corporation reached $17.4 billion, 16% higher due to the increased order book of projects from the Ayala Land Group, while revenues from property management reached $1.1 billion, 3% higher as a result of more managed properties from completed projects. Netting out our intercompany adjustments, primarily from internal construction projects, total revenues, real estate revenues, reached $36.2 billion, 18% higher. Our margins remain healthy. Let me start with the property development side. Residential GP margins of horizontal projects improved to 49% from 46% due to the contribution from Ayala Land Premier's The Courtyards Phase 3 in Vermosa and Alveo's The Residences at Evo City, Avea in Santa Rosa, Laguna, and Mondia in Nuvali. Gross profit margins of vertical developments improved to 35% from 33% due to the contribution of Ayala Land Premier's Park Central North Tower in Makati and Alveo's Hike Park Tower 2 in Vertis North. Gross profit margins of offices for sale declined to 35% from 41% as we recognized higher project costs, primarily in two projects. This is Alveo's Park Triangle Tower as well as the Park Triangle Corporate Plaza, both in the BGC area. GP margins of commercial and industrial lots increased to 43% from 30%, mainly from the contribution of higher margin commercial lots in Arca South and Leo and in industrial lots in Alviera. Our leasing EBITDA margins declined slightly. Shopping centers, 66%, offices at 90%, and hotels and resorts at 30%. Services margins slightly declined as well to 8%. In terms of our net income mix, on the left-hand side, you will see the net income contribution by location. And this is the first time we're showing that the contribution from our new estates and growth centers have actually increased to more than 50% and are actually contributing now more than our established estates. So the new estates and growth centers, primarily Vermosa, Arca South, as well as other estates in Luzon, now account for 55% of our net income, while our established estates in Makati, BGC, Nuvali, Cebu, and Alabang account for 45%. In terms of the split between development and recurring, development still contributed 66% to our first quarter bottom line, with 34% coming from our recurring businesses. Moving on to property sales, our sales reservations reached a total of 31.5 billion. This is 16% higher than 27.2 billion in the previous period. This is equivalent to an average monthly sales take-up of 10.5 billion. Net booked sales registered at 24.1 billion, 20% higher year-on-year. And in the first quarter, we launched 5 projects amounting to close to 11 billion and registered 137 billion in total unbooked revenues as of the end of the first quarter of 2018. Our sales reservations were fueled by strong local demand, which comprised the bulk at 71.2%. Local sales were up by 23%. Sales to overseas Filipinos is at 11.3% of the total and was up 24%. Sales to all non-Filipinos comprised 17.5% of the total but was lower by 10% compared to last year. And as you can see, of all sales to non-Filipinos, approximately half or 48% is accounted for by Chinese buyers. But despite the decline in international sales, our total sales still has moved up. And it's good to note that the local Filipino buyers have actually come back to the market and pushed up our sales, were higher by 23%. We launched an estate in January. This was our Parklinks estate, our greenest urban estate. We will be putting up a 58,000 GLA regional mall with a 3,500 square meter sports complex. ALP and Alveo will be launching residential towers. And it's just envisioned that the initial capex over the next 10 years will be about 53 billion. A GFA, gross floor area build out, will be a total of 1.7 million square meters, with the residential component accounting for half and office component accounting for the other half. Office and commercial, rather, would be accounting for the other half. This estate is in partnership with the Eton Lushotan Group. Our launches for the first quarter, let me start with Ayala Land Premier, the Courtyards, Phase 3A in January. Value of 4 billion, 85% has been taken up. For Alveo, we have Montala in our Alviera estate in Porac, Pampanga. Value of 358 million, 99% taken up. Ardia in Vermosa, Cavite, 760 million of value, 96% taken up. For Avida, we launched Towers Sola Tower 2 in Vertis North, Quezon City, 4.7 billion of value, 31% taken up. Avida Towers in the Atria Park District in Iloilo, 1 billion of value, 7% taken up since its launch a month ago. Turning over to the leasing side, starting off with malls. Total malls gross leasable area now stands at 1.8 million square meters. Our average occupancy rate for all malls is at 89%, while the occupancy rate for stable malls is at 97%. Our average monthly lease rate registered at 1,059 pesos per square meter, while same mall rental growth remains healthy at 5%. We put pictures there of our upcoming openings. One Bonifacio High Street, a 23,000 square meter mall on which the PSE Tower as well as our luxury suites condominium stands. It's slated to open by the third quarter. And similarly, in the third quarter, we'll be opening our Circuit Mall, which is in our Circuit Estate here in Makati. We are looking to open a total of 5 malls this year with a gross leasable space of roughly about 280,000 square meters. Currently under construction, we have 817,000 of space being constructed. For office leasing, total GLA now stands at 1.02 million square meters. Our total office portfolio lease out rate is at 91%, while average occupancy rate for all the offices is at 88%. Occupancy rate of stable offices is at 96%. Our average monthly lease rate stands at 752 pesos per square meter. And coming up for opening will be Ayala North Exchange, which is on Ayala Avenue down the road going towards our Circuit Estate. 20,000 square meters of gross leasable space. And Vertis North, our third tower in Quezon City, in Vertis North, the Vertis North Corporate Center with 38,000 square meters of gross leasable space, opening in the fourth quarter of 2018. Currently under construction, 503,000 square meters. For hotels and resorts, we now have a total of 2,340 rooms as of the first quarter of 2018. This excludes the 301 rooms from Cebu Marriott, which some of you may know is undergoing redevelopment and will be rebranded as Seda Ayala Center once it's completed by the third quarter. We also opened the 59 rooms in Seda Capital Central Bacolod. And that in terms of our op stats, RevPAR, revenue per available room of hotels, increased by 5% to 4,368 pesos per night. And RevPAR of resorts increased by 9%. Our average room rate for hotels is up 3%, while average room rate for resorts is up 9%. We have achieved very healthy occupancy rates for both hotels and resorts, registering at 77% and 71% respectively. Coming up soon will be our bed and breakfast in Sikogon called Huni. The first 19 rooms will be open within the quarter. And Seda Leo in Palawan, 63 out of the total 153 rooms expected to open by the third quarter of this year. So we currently have 2,300 rooms opened, and under construction we have about 3,700 rooms. Our balance sheet remains solidly positioned to support our growth plans. Cash and cash equivalents increased by 2.6 billion, while total debt and stockholders' equity increased by 4.8% respectively from prior year. This has resulted in a healthy current ratio of 1.15 to 1 and a moderate net debt to equity ratio of 0.78. Our ROE currently stands at an industry leading 16.1%. Of the 26.7 billion in capex that we spent during the first 3 months of the year, 41% was spent on residential projects, 23% went to equity investments in MCT and Prime Orion Philippines, 22% went to our commercial leasing projects, 9% for land acquisition, and 5% for estate development. So just an update on our international foray in Malaysia. Yeah. We have increased our stake in MCT. As you know, in 2017, we had a stake of 32.95%. By December, we received an offer for a shareholder who wanted to sell his stake of 17%, which we gladly accepted. That took us to above 50%, which triggered a mandatory offer. So we conducted that mandatory offer in February, and we were able to acquire about a total of 22%, but net of some conversions, our ownership stake in MCT now stands at 66.25%, from the 32.95% last year. So we remain committed to our operation in MCT, and we are looking to strengthen and grow it further. We are excited about the growth opportunities present in Malaysia, as we're seeing similar characteristics to the Philippines, a GDP growth in excess of 5%, a young population, a growing population. In addition to this, MCT has a reliable and experienced organization on the ground with a land bank of more than 540 acres. We are looking forward to growing the business, and we have installed the CEO and CFO, who are both Ayala Land employees, in MCT. The team is now looking forward to implementing its growth plans, and they're looking to launch new projects in secured land outside the Cyberjaya and Dengkil areas, and they're looking to supplement the existing land bank with acquisitions within the greater Kuala Lumpur area. On the residential side, they will be focusing on the affordable and middle income segment. This is the 500,000 to 750,000 Malaysian ringgit market. So with that, I'd like to close. To summarize, we have experienced a strong start with a 17% top line and bottom line growth, with revenues up to 37 billion and net income up to 6.5 billion. Our sales reservations increased by 16% to 31.5 billion on the back of strong local demand. CapEx is in line with our budget, 26.7 billion to support project completion, increased investments in other business, and our continued leasing asset buildup. And we are capitalizing on international growth opportunities through our investment in MCT in Malaysia. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bengson. Maybe now we can open the floor for questions from our live audience. Yes, Julian.
First of all, congratulations on the results. Strong. On the sales side, could you walk us? Could you give us more a better understanding of the 16% growth in reservation sales, and perhaps reinforce that with the trends you're seeing in terms of selling? Are there new sources, or from what pockets or demographics do you see the strongest momentum in terms of generating revenue? Second, in relation to sales, is could you add more color on the 10% drop in foreign, in international sales from overseas? And also, could you add, back to residential, more color on the 200 to 300 basis point increase in the margin expansion? Lastly, in relation to the leasing, the commercial side, could you share your outlook, your views on that space, in relation to future potential threat from e-commerce, and how you see it, how you're addressing it? Thank you.
Julian, I hope you got all your questions. I'll try to address a few of them, then I'll pass it on to my colleagues for some of them. First, in terms of sales, no, I think we were seeing strength across the different market segments. I think it is not isolated to one particular segment. I think if you look at it from affordable entry level all the way to luxury, I think you're seeing fairly strong demand across the board. So it's not driven by one particular brand, but really driven by pretty much all the segments that we participate in the market, which is basically from socialize all the way to luxury, no? Now, in terms of
foreign,
yeah, Yeah, on the foreign sales, you know, again, it's hard to look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Obviously, you'll have swings as you move from one quarter to the next quarter. So I wouldn't, you know, come up to any kind of conclusion in terms of where foreign sales are headed. No, but from what I understand, and I've seen some of the you know, release of one of our industry peers, I understand that foreign sales continue to be quite strong. I think the good news, as Toti was mentioning a while ago, is it's not only foreign sales now that's basically driving the residential sales here, but now also the domestic. So I think on a quarter, again, as I've said, you could see some changes. But the good news is, I think, you now have both foreign and domestic driving, or local buyers driving the growth in the residential segment, no? The 200 basis point margin expansion, again, I think that's just indicative of the strong demand. No, I think on occasion where we see an opportunity to raise prices, actually we do raise prices to improve our margin, but not, you know, to the extent wherein it creates you know, some sort of a you know, a significant rise in price, because we also don't want to kill the market, no, in a sense. So if you look at our pricing over the last 10 years, it's been measured, it's been gradual, and really consistent towards maintaining, if not increasing, our margins, you know, marginally, so not significantly. So I think over time, what you see is really a gradual increase, and that's really through efficiency as well as some profit-taking price increases. Yeah, you mentioned about on the commercial side, on the leasing. The last data I saw is that e-commerce accounts for only about 1% of total retail sales. No? So it does not pose yet a significant threat to the brick and mortar business of shopping centers. However, having said that, I think consumer tastes and preferences are actually evolving. You need to be quite innovative and creative in terms of making sure that the shopping centers continue to be, you know, attractive to our target customers. So what have we been doing? Really in a couple of areas. One is, you know, on the dining side, which is not unique to us. Now, if you see many developers also doing it, wherein there's really now a thrust to increase the level of, I guess, dining experience as well as your mix in terms of dining. Then the other one is just this whole you know, entertainment, no? Just to make sure that, you know, the malls continue to be destinations. So we're increasing the component of, you know, entertainment in our shopping centers. Again, that's no, I think, different what you're seeing worldwide in terms of how malls are addressing the threat of e-commerce and to ensure that they continue to be relevant.
Thank you, Bob. Last question is on infrastructure development in the country. Given the expectations over the next 5 years of how that will evolve, where do you think the impact on land prices or property price will be most pronounced in terms of where you're at, where your portfolio?
Well, I think it's quite all these infrastructure development will have you know, very, very positive impact, no, in terms of you know, driving particular areas. As you know, part of our strategies when we land bank is to basically locate near infrastructure projects. So you could see it. For example, we have Vertis North development, as you know, the common stations being built there, MRT 7 is also being built. Once it's completed, it will be a major node in terms of transport commuters. You see ARCA, we're in the plan now is to connect that all the way to C5 with an integrated transport terminal. So again, that will benefit as well. In the Calax area, we're actually quite well positioned in terms of land bank from Kawit all the way to Nuvali. No? So I think all those areas where we do have land, and typically when we acquire land, it's typically with the intent that there's going to be a major infrastructure development to make sure that it accretes in value. So I wouldn't say where the highest level of appreciation will be. I think all of them will actually benefit from all this infrastructure program or infrastructure projects that the government is starting to pursue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julian. Next question from RJ Aguirre.
Hi, Sir Bobby, Toti, and Junie. I have two questions. First, on residential sales take-up. So, of the 16%, would you give us an idea on, in terms of pricing, how much is that this increase in price versus just the number of units? In other words, can you give us an idea on the number of units that you sold for the quarter? And second, maybe Junie can answer this one. On the office side, can you give us an idea on the pre-commitments, if there are, for your upcoming office projects, and how much are those are coming from POGOs as well? Thank you.
Actually, as it turns out, I just calculated it here. We had the reservations of over 5,700 units, no? And basically that accounts to about the 16.7% growth versus year ago in terms of units. So if you look at it, it's it's basically unit growth, no? As well. But again, the mix obviously. There's some changes within the brands, but overall, if you ask for total numbers, 16. So 16 on both.
On office, we're actually quite happy where we are right now. No, 91% leased out. No, and if I look at our pipeline, the ones that we will open this year, actually like Ayala North Gateway. No, that's almost 100% leased out. No, Vertis as well. We expect also that to be fully leased out within the year. No, so not worried at all. In fact, if there's something to worry about, I don't think we have enough inventory to lease out at this stage. So on POGO, right now I estimate that it's around 5% of our overall portfolio, no. But nonetheless, no, we're also saying that maybe let's put a cap on that, no. So we're saying that 10% is the cap for POGO as far as we're concerned right now. Thank you.
Thank you, RJ. Yes, Kervin.
Hi, good afternoon. So congrats on the results. So just two questions for me on the residential side. So can you give us an idea on how much is your inventory level in terms of years for Ali? And maybe an idea as well as maybe up to where do you want your inventory level to be? Maybe like 12 or 18 months. And in relation to that, can you give us any guidance in terms of value of launches for this year? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Kervin. In terms of our inventory levels, we're roughly at about 10 months. And our target, our self-imposed limit, would be anywhere in between 12 to 15 months. So we're actually running a low inventory level currently. And in terms of launches, as you note, we only launched about 10 billion in the first quarter. So expect to see an escalation of launches in the last three quarters of the year. Our target for residential and office condos for sale launches is 100 billion this year. So this is about 10% more than what we were able to launch last year.
Thank you. Any more questions? Jeanette, Hatch, Carl. Okay, I guess with that, allow me to formally close our briefing this afternoon. We'd like to thank everyone. Oh, sorry. Yeah. We'd now like to open the floor for questions from our conference facility.
Thank you. Participants from audio lines, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. The first question comes from the line of Jason. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got two questions. First question, there's been some concerns over the high inflation and potential higher interest rates, but it looks like from your first quarter reservation sales, there hasn't been an impact. Just wanted to know if this is something you're very concerned going forward in the, for the rest of the year? The second question is on office leasing. Can you just give us an idea of where you're seeing, you know, demand and customer interest from? Is it the POGOs, the BPOs, or is it more the traditional companies?
So thank you. I'll take the first question on high inflation as well as higher interest rates. In terms of inflation, yes, we saw inflation kick up to 4.5%. Now, I understand that the bank, our central bank, is monitoring this closely, and at this stage, they believe they have the right settings in place. And I guess May 10 will be a critical date. We'll see if they will be, in fact, hiking the policy rate. And I think the expectation from most of the analysts is that they will do so come Thursday. In terms of the higher interest rates, yes, we recognize this. And as a matter of fact, we have been anticipating rates to move up. And that's why when you look at our debt portfolio, the bulk, or 85% of our debt portfolio, is already locked in fixed rate long-term debt. So we have anticipated higher interest rates. But what I'd also like to point out is that interest rates to corporate borrowers such as Ayala Land have moved up. But mortgage rates, which are the rates that we're tracking more closely, because these are what affect our residential buyers, mortgage rates have actually come down. So we now have seen 1 year rates at 4.5%, and of late we have seen, at least from one of our partner mortgage banks, a 10-year fixed rate at 6.5%, coming from about 8.5% last year. And we still do see 20-year fixed rates at 9.75%. So across the mortgage curve, interest rates, mortgage rates are at all-time lows still. And we believe that this situation will persist, given that when we talk to our partner mortgage banks, they all have very aggressive targets. And if you've seen the spate of capital raisings from the banks, you will hear from them that they intend to deploy their capital, their newly raised funds, towards growing their retail portfolio as well as their portfolio of lending to small and medium enterprises. So I think rates have moved up, but the big boys like Ayala Land are able to handle this. But what's more important is that rates to retail buyers, and especially to the mortgage bank market, have continued to come down and are at all-time lows today.
For office, the demand is actually coming from all sectors. No, for POGOs, obviously, that's the new sector that's actually growing faster than most. No, but BPOs as well, what we're seeing is that it's also growing, particularly those that are captives, meaning back office of U.S. companies are actually expanding. So we're seeing that. Traditional businesses also, traditional office requirements are also expanding. I suppose it's a function of the economy. As long as the economy grows by 6 or 7%, you'll see traditional office also grow.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, participants from audio lines, if you wish to ask a question, it's star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no questions at the moment from the audio lines. I would like to hand the conference back to our speaker for the day.
Okay, thank you very much. And I guess with that, allow me to formally close our briefing this afternoon. We'd like to thank everyone who called in and everyone who attended, and our senior management who's attended us here this afternoon. So thank you very much, and we're serving halo-halo at the end, so please do enjoy before you go. Thank you.